Oh, how often I've recommended that gospel for a wedding and nobody's taken me up on it yet. Truth in advertising. Well, there's always a troublemaker somewhere in the between the two families. It's part of life, isn't it? I think we have without them, how would we grow in holiness? Huh? That's why I'm single. Anyway, this is not my homily at all. When I was in seventh grade, this is very fitting in light of my previous career. I went to a junior high school called Airport Junior High School. And it was right under the flight path at LAX. This is how long ago it was. 707s and 727s would come roaring overhead. All classes would stop when everyone came through. The place smelled of kerosene and so on. It was, they added a runway after this school was built. This was the problem. And the airport took that entire area, including our home. Our home was actually taken twice by airport expansions, believe it or not, in that area, Westchester, California. And in that place was we had PE. The only good part about all those airplanes is PE came to a stop also. Can you imagine doing PE with all that kerosene smell around there? So I hated PE. How many of you hated PE? The rest of you, I don't relate to you at all. I looked two grades younger, very thin and anyway, it just PE and I, you know, some of us were the last ones chosen for a team, and then we were the best thing the other team ever had, you know, that kind of thing. So we had a teacher. Oddly enough, this teacher came up a couple weeks ago on a Facebook chat page that I belong to about Westchester memories, you know, and this man's name came up. Mr. Orr was his name, O-R-R. I didn't like him very much. I didn't like any of my PE teachers, but this one in particular, whenever you weren't performing correctly, he would have you run around the track like Hebrews here, and he called it a scenic. You take a scenic. We'd do these runs around, and I'd always be the last one about 100 yards behind everybody else, huffing and puffing. You know, both my parents smoked three packs a day, and I'm sure that's what it was. But anyway, you know, God love them. But, you know, so anyway, he'd see me come along. So he says, "You, Zer, take another scenic." Oh, I hated that man. I have forgiven him, but I've not forgotten. So these scenics, you know, when you think about this reading, it just, you know, one doesn't relate in that sense. But this... It's a very interesting reading that is extremely relevant to our lives, this great cloud of witnesses. In the seventh grade, that cloud of witnesses was laughing at me every time I ran around the track. But the reality is we are all on stage. Our Lord has told us very clearly, you know, in this world, we love our privacy. We have a right to privacy in the United States, which is a great thing, you know, the government's not supposed to be butting in everywhere in our lives, that sort of thing. And we ourselves, everything from you go to the hospital is HIPAA. But in heaven, there is no privacy at all. Everything we do is on stage. Every single piece of it will be played back for us at our judgment and in meeting the Lord who loves us so dearly. But we'll realize then that every moment counted and that where true wealth lies, eternity is forever. This world is a blink of an eye. But and also, the great cloud of witnesses, remember in the Roman Empire, of which this Hebrews, everything in the New Testament is flowing out of that culture, that athletics, and particularly running, tracks, stadium, and there's a word for the velodromes. Thank you very much, Lord. There are many velodromes for racing with chariots and runners. And the winner would get laurel leaves, which it was dedicated to the god Apollo, and the laurel tree was his thing, and so that's why that was. And so the author to the Hebrews uses that colloquial image that everybody understood, but without the false gods that went along with it, such as in the Olympic Games that we still use today. That's the only time I ever see running, you know, professionally, but we may use a different image today than running, but it still has meaning to us. But we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, And he says, run as if to win. That's where St. Paul uses this same image. He may be the author of this and may be somebody else. Scripture scholars see there's such a difference in language that it's probably another author, but it's one of the best books in the New Testament. And each of us has a different finish line. We don't all finish together. We don't all run the same. Some of us are lousy at running and some are great, and the Lord knows this. He only asks what we can do and no more. But we all have something to accomplish here, growing and serving. Remember, growing and serving, growing in holiness, slowly but surely, and serving at the present moment. There's two great moments in our lives other than birth. One is the present moment where all grace resides. If you think about it, that's the only place where God is intersecting with us in time, and the other is the moment of death when the finish line occurs. And in between there is the race of life. And St. Paul, or the author here, says, I'm determined to make him the author, so I'm going to give up on trying to make that switch. But he says, don't let your eyes get distracted too much by the world around you. Always remember to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the one and true object of our faith. St. Teresa of Lisieux, I have this in my chapel to help with serving you, to keep my eyes on what's important. Let us keep our eyes fixed on heaven, she said, the one and true and only object of our labors. Just think about it. Heaven is your home, and since Jesus was a carpenter, imagine your family and friends that have passed away, and they are living in the homes and residential area that is where they deserve or where God has placed them, and they're watching your home being built by Jesus where you're going to live forever. It's a colloquial image, but it's used by God, by the Lord himself. And they're watching intently as this develops, as will we become all that we were meant to be and affect the people's lives that we will then see all the connections at the end of our lives and be astounded at what God did through us in the places where he was. And so this image of a race is so important, and that cloud of witnesses are our family and friends that watch and see everything. And also, in another sense, the witnesses are our call to witness to others by our words and deeds. Whether we know it or not, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to be living a life that's a little bit different than the people around me. And these days, with the culture going the way it is, somebody committed to this, to a relationship with the Lord and their faith is going to stand out just by what we don't do. I remember at the airline, I was very careful with my language, even though at times you always couldn't stand it. Some of these people were so mean. Well, I came out with some word I shouldn't have at one point, and everybody heard me, and they went, "You?" And I thought, "What, me?" They said, "Well, but you never talk like that." I was witnessing by what I didn't say. I'm just passing it on to you. It was only that one time in my whole life that happened. Except every time I get in the car. But it's so hard being the only good driver in Salem, but I bear that well. Probably the worst. If you learn to drive in L.A., some of you did, you understand what I'm talking about. But there's no race in Salem, believe me, on an automobile. But this image, and then we go to the gospel. These two second and third readings don't normally connect. But when Jesus talks about setting fire to the earth and a sword, Christianity has always been at odds with other in time and place. We are the conscience of the world, and this is why the world doesn't like Christianity. We stand, the Catholic Church has every 500 years, as Bishop Barron, we have a book to pass out to you to help you with this, and what's going on in the church right now. But every 500 years or so, we go through a great trial, and we're at another 500 years. And the world doesn't like Christianity and Catholicism and people that are rooted in 2,000 years. We remember what the world used to be like. And we stand, in a sense, by the teachings of the church and the scriptures, what life really is, theologically. How we live it, we're all sinners, you know. So the fire is partly the fire of the challenge of living the faith, that we should be on fire with the Holy Spirit, but especially the anguish of running the race, and to accomplish something will require suffering. God is going to call each of us somehow into that race. Sometimes it's very difficult to pray or to be, you know, to be holy in the sufferings or difficulties of life, or to remember to thank God in the many joys, the beautiful weather at this time of year here in the valley. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And it's, but the main division and fire and sword is within us, that once we meet the Lord, he's going to gently keep pointing out those areas where, as I often mention, the shopping cart's got a wheel that tends to shimmy and go in the wrong direction. He wants us something to work on. We've all got something that comes up over and over again, every one of us. It's just the way we're built. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. We're not going to enter heaven perfect, but we will be perfected. And the amount of striving we did, remember, our Lord doesn't reward just for finishing, but for how, the effort that we made, what we went through for him. Even if we didn't succeed in the eyes of the world, even if we're in last place in the finish line, he knew that my parents smoked, you know what I'm saying? We don't know what the problem was, why people finished last in the eyes of the world, but often they will be first in heaven because their goal was a lot less than somebody who had more gifts, more is expected of them. So our Lord then reminds us that the key to understanding our trials and joys and mission and vision in life is keeping our eyes. We have to live in the world. We have to provide for our families. We have to invest well. We have to keep our health up and all the rest of the stuff that everybody does. But we also keep our eyes on the goal. The finish line is heaven. We want to be there and choose that, not the other place. We also want to achieve the level and the glory of God that he wishes for us, to reflect his glory forever in heaven, and most of all, to understand something about Jesus by what we went through in this world. It's a great mystery, but all he shares with us now is what our role and duty is right now. What will come, he promises, is beyond belief, but he wants to be loved for himself and not for his gift, so he withholds the knowledge of the glorious future that awaits us. So we're all on the track at Airport Junior High School with me. Remember, there's an airplane that's going to come and take you away someday. Oh, that's a great image. I got to use that school again. You know, they bulldozed it a year after I was there. I was the last class to get out of there. And if you go there to LAX now and get a Hertz rent-a-car, that's where it was. So keep that in mind. You can hear, anyway, never mind. But we're all on the track, you know, all with different finish lines, all of us trying, all of us not stopping in the bleachers and giving up, or even worse, sitting in the bleachers throwing rocks at people that don't seem to be doing well. Some people enjoy throwing rocks at people in the arena, and you and I have all experienced that. So we don't want to be in the arena or just witnessing and not participating. God calls us to get out of doing nothing and get busy and start running the race of our lives, because our whole future and the future of many others depends on our actions. We're all here for others to grow and to serve and keep our eyes on the prize, which is Christ Jesus our Lord.